How does Batman like his coffee? Black, like the night. Welcome to Weekly News Desk for the week of February 4th, 2017. I am Simon Atwell, and as always, I'm joined by... Yeah, my Batman voice went a little too into my demon voice when I did that.
Yeah.
I went a little too demon, or the bad guy from Inspector Gadget.
Yeah.
That is what my voice is. It's also very scratchy to do for a long time. I wonder if I'm killing people's ears.
So I should probably stop. Ow, that actually kind of hurt.
Thank you, Dr. Claw.
That's his name. Thank you. I can never remember his name.
I couldn't either. I'm so distracted by this looping gif of Lucio wall riding.
In Heroes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about his wall ride. That's a preview for later, guys.
More on that.
But first, we gotta talk about movies.
Movies.
So, first off, Dune has direction. So, you may or may not have heard that they're doing a Dune reboot movie.
What if I hadn't?
Well, you have now. They're doing a Dune reboot movie, but previous to now, did not have a director.
The film must flow.
Sure, I guess. I mean, it does have movies do have a flow, so we'll see. We'll see if it has a good flow or not when we eventually watch it. So anyway, on the 31st of January.
January.
Which is... was last Tuesday. Brian Herbert, son of Frank Herbert, who wrote the books, announced on Twitter that they found a director for the Dune reboot. And also, Brian Herbert, who wrote the last, like, 7 Dune books that aren't really that good. Just so you know, don't go past, like, 2 or 3. If it's not written by Frank Herbert, don't bother reading them.
I know I haven't.
But... So, Legendary Pictures, who is the company who also did Warcraft, committee is picking up Dune, has signed Denis Villeneuve, maybe?
Nueve.
To direct Dune. Now, Denis Villeneuve, let's say, also is directing Blade Runner 2049, and he directed Arrival and Sicario.
Hmm.
Both of which I have not seen, but I've heard were amazing.
Yeah.
Fantastic movies.
Interesting.
So, I mean, Blade Runner hopefully is good. We all want Blade Runner to be good.
Mm-hmm. Also, both those movies are kind of more serious, and I think that would help the Dune setting.
Dune is
serious, very serious.
Sci-fi.
Serious sci-fi. That last one was kind of silly. But I don't think it was trying to be silly. But it came out silly. Just
bad.
Yeah, it's just bad.
It was just bad. Kind of like Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
It's kind of silly because it was just bad. As opposed to Dread, which is fantastic.
Oh, so good.
Which I do hear they're actually moving in towards an actual sequel.
Eventually, someday, maybe.
Yeah, but I hear it's becoming ever so more likely. Hopefully. So this is good, though. Denis Villeneuve. I'm going to assume that's how you pronounce that. It looks Villeneuve to me. Arrival. Never did get around to seeing it, but everybody tells me it's great.
Yeah, same.
Very straight, or very strong, hard sci-fi, which is good. Actually, no, it's not hard sci-fi. That's not true. It's aliens and shit.
Yeah.
It's...
Smart sci-fi?
Smart sci-fi. It's smart sci-fi, yeah. Which Dune can be. Dune is soft, but can be smart, with a little bit of action.
Game of Thrones in space.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yeah, that's Dune. You're not wrong. With sandworms.
Sandworms.
And psychic drugs.
Spice.
Yeah, psychic drugs.
So much spice.
Psychic drugs.
Yeah.
Anyway. And also in movies, Ben Affleck is not pulling double duty. So he has officially actually dropped out of directing The Batman.
The Batman.
And according to him, he has said that it's because he... doesn't feel he can do both the acting job and the directing job in this movie to the best of his ability, like if he's doing both. So he says that he would be better served if he just did the acting, and he's going to find somebody he can work with well to do the directing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And people have been all over asking Kevin Smith, and Kevin's just like, no. I think the best reaction I saw was like, three reasons... as much as I would love to, three reasons I can't. I haven't spoken to Ben in years. I directed Yoga Hosers. And I think the third one was just no.
Just no.
Just no. Yeah. But so hopefully we'll get a good director on The Batman. There are rumors that he dropped out because his whatever movie he directed recently, Ben Affleck, did shitty. But those have been denied, whether they're true or not. I don't remember what the movie was. But it did quite shitty, and it came out very recently. But I don't know. I doubt that. I think he's used to having movies do shitty and then doing movies that do good. Like The Town did really good, but a lot of other stuff he's directed did really shitty. It's kind of Ben Affleck's thing.
Yeah.
Argo. Argo did really quite well.
Argo was cool. That was a good one.
Yeah. Live by Night, that's it. Or Live by Night.
Did he do Pearl Harbor? I think
he we went through was this. In Pearl Harbor? No, that Casey Affleck was in Pearl Harbor. Maybe.
I'm looking
He didn't direct it. I can tell you he did not direct Pearl Harbor. Because I'm looking at his direction.
Oh, Michael Bay.
Oh, yeah, Michael Bay directed it, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Wait, that's it. I did know that. So, we'll tell you who's going to direct The Batman when we find out. That's for sure. All right, let's move. Let's move in the TV. Got a quick one, I think, this week. Until we get into rambling about something later.
Rambling.
So, Capaldi bows out. This will be Peter Capaldi's last season on Doctor Who.
This is the third season?
I believe is his... Yes, this will be his third season.
Yeah.
We have... Obviously, we just found this about, so we don't... They're going to have to find a new... figure out what they're going to do. We don't know, have any clue who the next Doctor is going to be. It's too bad, I think. I like liked Peter Capaldi, but I mean, you know, three seasons isn't bad.
Yeah.
I still haven't watched The Return of Doctor Mysterio yet, which is the most recent Christmas episode.
I still haven't seen the last season.
With the last season with Clara. That was the last season. Clara's last season was the last season.
Okay, then yeah.
They actually didn't do a season this year.
Huh.
It's basically almost a full year between the last episode, The Husbands of River Song. It's the last episode they did. Prior to Doctor Mysterio.
This is why I don't end up watching it. I have no idea when it's on, what's happening. I'm so confused. Yeah, no,
this is the longest gap they've had. It's been almost a... It was almost a year between the two episodes. As opposed to the Phantom season, which is what I call those four episodes that David Tennant did in his last season.
Yeah.
The post Donna season, where it was like four slightly longer episodes.
Him on his own wandering around.
Yeah. They were good.
They were.
But there were four episodes randomly interspersed throughout the year. but we do get a new companion this year. Which I don't know if she shows, as I haven't seen it. I don't know if she shows up at the end of the Christmas episode or what. But we get a new companion, so that's a thing. All right, moving on to something I'm looking forward to, except that we can't watch it legally in Canada. We've got a cast of Runaways. So, Marvel and Hulu got into a deal to make Brian K. Vaughan's Runaways series into a series, TV series. If you can't, I guess Hulu's TV, kind of.
Yeah.
You still call them TV series?
I guess.
Because they're not movies.
For lack of a better word.
Yeah. I've had the discussion with people who are saying, well, yeah, TV series are things that aren't movies, even if they're Netflix, but it does sound wrong. Does it call, like, the Netflix originals or Hulu originals TV series? But they're not movies, so I guess that's what we call them. So, a couple days ago now, I believe it was Friday, Marvel has announced, they announced the casting of the show. What did you just Google, by the way?
If, just that question.
If Netflix series are TV series?
Yeah.
I think they're filed under TV series, like, or filed, organized under TV series in Netflix. Like, I think if you go to Netflix.com and go to TV series, you can find Daredevil and Jessica Jones. Because, you know, TV series are not movies at this point. Anyway, so, I guess, I assume I've talked about The Runaways before, because it is one of my very favorite series from Marvel. I'm going to take a quick rundown. Six rich kids find out one night at their parents' yearly get-together that their parents are a supervillain group called The Pride, and they all decide to run away and fight against them, basically. That's the super Cole's Notes version of what The Runaways is, but better than that. Also, each pair of parents, so there's an alien parents, there's mutant parents, so each one of the Runaways is alien, mutant, witches or magic, time travelers, engineer tech people, and then there's just the planners slash normal criminals, but they're the smart ones. The devious ones? The planners. They're the planners, that's what I figured out. So, getting into the cast here. These are, obviously, they're all young. Younger children, all high, like early high school or younger. So this cast is a bunch of people you have never heard of. But I'm going to go through it anyway.
Yeah.
At least it's a bunch of people I've never heard of.
I've never heard of any.
So we have Renzi Felice, who was on Teen Wolf and Casual, which is why I say maybe somebody's heard about this guy. Teen Wolf was popular in the people for people who are younger than us. As Alex Wilder, who was a loud and proud nerd. Kind of the one that sort of galvanized the group to run away and fight against the Pride, their parents. You have Lyrica Okano, maybe? Okano? I don't know how to pronounce that.
That sounds right.
Who was in The Affair and Unforgettable as Nico Minoru, who is, blurb is definitely accurate. I'm going to leave this link up in the show notes so that they can fully read the blurb about what the kids are.
And see who they are.
And then see the pictures and stuff, yeah. But this is true. Embodies teenage angst. That's kind of what she does. Nico Minoru. She's the witch.
Angst.
The Wiccan. We have Virginia Gardner. I can pronounce that.
Gardner and Virginia, yeah.
So nice, easy names. Who's in Goat and Little Bitches as Carolina Dean, who was, she's model perfect. She's the pretty one, but doesn't like being the pretty one kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
She's also the alien, but she doesn't know.
What a twist.
What a twist. Ariella Bearer, who was on New Girl, which I used to watch, but I fell behind on, so maybe I have seen her, who knows. And One Day at a Time, as Gert Yorks, like, the best character.
Yo, Gert.
I'm sure that happens, at least once.
I really hope so.
I can't get over it, because I didn't even realize it. I like her, their description of her as a contemporary Riot Girl. That's also not wrong.
Riot Girl.
Yeah, well, Riot Girls are something.
Yo, Gert, you're a regular Riot Girl. And then there's
Greg Sulkin, who was in Faking It and Don't Hang Up, and Antisocial. Hey, he has 3 credits.
That's so many.
Compared to everybody else's, too. As,
still haven't heard of any of them.
As playing Chase Stein, who is a year or two, I think he's only 1 year maybe older than everybody else, maybe 2. He's the sort of not nerd, you know, the sort of popular-y one, athletic, that kind of thing. Dick. Chase is a dick, and that's a fact.
He's also brilliant in engineering.
Sometimes. He sometimes exhibits flashes. His parents are the engineers. All right, and Gert's parents are the time travelers. I didn't mention it. Gert's parents are the time travelers. And Chase's parents are the engineer, the tech people, you know? You know, they're like the Doc Ocks. They have superpowers because they're really smart and make good technology. And then the young one. We have Allegra Acosta, who was in 100 Things to Do Before High School and Just Add Magic. Those both, on title alone, sound terrible.
Yeah, especially the first one.
Yeah, as Molly Hernandez, very possibly the best character who does the least, because she's the young one. She's the mutant. Her parents are mutants. She's a child, so she's very upbeat and peppy and naive.
Mm-hmm.
But her mutant power is, like, super strength. And at one time in the comics, after House of M, the X-Men, like Wolverine and maybe a couple others, came to collect her because they were trying to keep all the mutants together because there weren't very many. She didn't want to go. She just ended up punching Wolverine straight through her church and out the doors.
Good thing it was Wolverine.
Yeah, pretty much. It's great. This is a great couple of panels. And it's especially funny because she used to be like Wolverine before that. Then after that, she's like, no, I hate him. Oh. He smells funny. And you know, children.
Poor Wolverine.
So
I always go on about his smell.
It's true.
Can't help
they
it.
They really do. So Marvel says it will announce more casting soon, which probably means it will get the parents, which will probably, because they're adults and not, you know, teen actors, we probably might have heard of a couple of them. Plus, there's twice maybe. As many.
Yeah.
I think we have a chance to have heard of at least one of them. But I am looking forward to this, even though I don't know how I'm going to watch it because it's Hulu, and Hulu hasn't come to Canada yet because they're assholes.
Magic. Magic is how you watch it.
Magic is friendship.
And friendship is magic.
All right, let's move to games. So first, we're going to talk about something that is not a video game. I came across this, and I just had to talk about it. So let's get smashed up. Because AEG Game... AEG, is it just AEG or is it AEG Games? I think it might just be AEG.
Good question.
Because the G in AEG is probably games. So AEG has announced 4 releases for 2017. AEG makes the tabletop card game Smash Up, which is great, right, Andrew?
It is very great. Very, very great. Many flavor.
Super fun. So, first up is the What Were We Thinking expansion. So, in this expansion has explorers, grannies, rock stars, and teddy bears. Because Smash Up, for those who don't know, you take one deck, you take 2 separate decks of, you know, let's say grannies and rock stars, and you mix them together to make your play deck.
Yep.
And sometimes they work together quite well. And sometimes, like ghosts, don't work with anything else. I think it's ghosts. Is it a ghost that keeps ruining your...
They discard.
Yeah.
But they don't play out of the discard.
Like, nothing else that does that. Nothing else that wants you to have small number of cards in your
hand. I can't think of any, but I've never had come up, really. I've just been, oh, damn it, ghosts.
Oh, damn it. Ghosts and something that gives me lots of cards, like aliens or robots.
Yeah. Yeah, robots and fairies.
Maybe it's fairies, I don't know. Fairies from the pretty Smash Up expansion.
Yeah.
So this one sounds funny. Grannies, plus some sort of, you know, explorers like Lara Croft-looking explorers, and teddy bears, and Elvis-like rock stars. That's a great one. I'm going to have to pick that one up. Then over the summer, AEG is going to launch the All-Star Event Kit, which would require you to contact your FLGS, friendly local game store, to get them to order the All-Star Event Kit and have an in-store event. Interesting. So, basically, this faction is a single faction. It is a specifically chosen mix of existing Smash-Up minions that are from an All-Star team. But I think by the looks of it, it's like new art, and it's probably the same abilities, but it's basically new art. And all in one team.
That might be cool.
Could be cool.
Yeah, this game's fun.
I really like
it. We haven't played it in a while, too.
No, we have not. Because Erica has it, because she's making party tokens so that they're easier to determine. Because the way they're organized, you pretty much can't not see what your deck, the deck you're pulling is. It's very difficult. So Erica's making tokens with the symbols of each one.
Smart.
So that we can just pull tokens out to get them randomly assigned.
Smart. Put it in a little sack.
Yeah, exactly. So this next one. This is pretty cool, too. This, in the fall, Smash Up Big in Japan.
Yeah.
And I mean, that box art is great.
Get hype.
I love that box art. It doesn't. Why do we not tell? I mean, it doesn't. This write-up does not tell me what it is, but judging by it, we have Power Rangers, or whatever they're going to call it, because I can't actually say Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Monsters.
Sailor Scouts.
Sailor Scouts, whatever they're going to call that. And I don't know what the cutesy monster is.
Kawaiju.
Kawaiju and Kaiju, maybe?
Yeah.
Because there's Godzilla in the background. This box art is fantastic, though. And I like that that Power Ranger is a pig. I'm just noticing that that is definitely a pig on his helmet.
Oh, yeah, it is, too. I didn't see that snout.
Neither did I until right now. I saw the ears. I was like, well, that's weird. Then there's the snout. And then, if you want to get your hands on a free faction, AEG asks you to fill out a survey to get a sheep deck.
Want it. Gimme.
So, smash up sheep, obediently and harmlessly follow other minions around from base to base.
Oh, man. Where do I do the survey?
I don't know. It does not have a link here, but I'm sure if we Google smash up sheep, which I have a new tab open, so let's Google smash up sheep.
Oh, wow. It's on Steam.
Smash up?
Smash up's on Steam.
I should look at that.
I didn't know that.
Smash up 2017 smash.
I'll take survey. I'm doing it now.
Smash up 2017 survey, alldirect.com. Is that where you are?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So you Google smash up sheep or alldirect.com/smashup/smashup-survey-2017. But it's probably easier to Google smash up sheep. And also I assume this will be available in Canada.
How many expansions do you have?
Oh my god, I don't know. A lot? Why?
That's one of the questions.
Is it how many spaceship expansions does your... Well, your household owns none, Andrew.
Yeah, you know, squatter rights.
Hey, I don't even leave them here anymore. They're at Erica's house now. It's not like my X-Wing stuff. Although, when I get them back, yes, it will probably be left here. But this sounds super cool. I'm going to leave that survey up so I can do it later. Alright. Jesus, Andrew, you keep changing the game notes.
Nope, didn't do it.
Yeah, you did.
It wasn't me.
You added two things since we started. One since we started and another one since I was talking about Smash Up.
Yeah.
But first, let's talk about honor.
My honor.
So, as we mentioned last, we talked about last week, the closed beta for Honor.
For Honor.
Yeah, that's a really bad sentence. The new Ubisoft game coming out on February 14th. We have a couple more news points about it, like that their open beta will be February 9th to 12th on PS4, Xbox, and PC, which is where we have it. So if you want to play with us, PC, all the way. So there'll be another... and in the open beta, we would be able to try out the new elimination mode, a best of five series of 4-on-4 matches with no respawns.
And that's a team?
Yeah, 4-on-4. So it's like 2-on-2. It's like our 2-on-2, but 4.
Yeah, but elimination.
Yes. Whoa. So it is like the 2-on-2, but 4. Because, I mean, on 2-on-2, if I die, when you died and left me against two of them, you didn't respawn. You know that time you couldn't kill that one guy? And then then I was like, okay, let's trade enemies. And I killed him, but you died to the other guy anyway.
Yeah. That was a bad game. I don't know why it did so bad in that round.
Because you didn't know how to not just guard break kick or charge in the case of your guy.
That is a very effective strategy.
It is, unless they keep attacking you constantly. And then you never have a chance to guard break.
Or it's not near the edge. Yeah, I couldn't block it.
Which is what happened to you.
I just kept tacking. Like, I can't block, can't roll.
Which I had a lot of experience with just people just aggressively attacking consistently. That's why I was like, all right, let's trade. I can handle that. I'm used to that.
And when you played, you used keyboard and mouse, right?
Yeah, I did. Oh, yeah, you were using keyboard, too.
I was using controller.
Oh, a controller.
Yeah.
Right.
It's really good on a controller.
It's also quite good on a keyboard and mouse as well. The only problem I have is sprinting breaks your, like, you hit, you know, you I you hit control, you know, you enter defense mode. It's control right. In, I don't know what it is on the controller, but it's control on the keyboard. But then you sprint, defense mode goes away.
Wow.
And it's really annoying. Because that part, like, for when I was against the Berserker and they do their fucking 5-foot backup,
yeah.
Now they're really far away. And if I'm in defense mode, you walk so slowly in defensive mode. So I wanted to sprint up to them. But then defense mode was gone and they'd get at least two hits on me for free, and I was like, well, this is bullshit.
Yeah, like the controller a lot.
Keyboard worked quite well as well. So there we go. Controls are good. It also says you'll be able to continue the War of the Factions. I assume it's reset. I assume it's a reset War of the Factions.
I don't know.
Not where we left it last week.
Why not where you left it?
Because it's a whole bunch of different people.
Yeah.
So a couple of days before February 7th, before the open beta begins, a squad of celebrity warriors and top streamers will take to Twitch to continue War of the Factions and show off the elimination mode. So featuring Lauren Cohen from The Walking Dead, Jason Momoa from Being a Badass, Alfie Allen from being cast as an asshole and everything, and Demetrius Johnson, who's a name I recognize but can't place. The live stream battle begins at February 7th at 2 p.m. on the For Honor Twitch channel. So those are interesting.
That's awesome.
People. I mean, because there were people on the closed beta, but they were all Twitch streamer and types. There were no, you know, actors that I saw on the list that I recognized.
They weren't Momoa.
Nothing but Momoa. Or Alfie Allen or Lauren Cohen, who are all kind of biggish names at the moment. Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, Aquaman. And Demetrius Johnson, like, it's bugging me. I have to look. I meant to. But I'm going to Google. And I need it in front of me to spell the name Demetrius, D-R-I-O-U-S, Johnson. Demetrius Johnson Twitch. That's interesting. And that was, like, the second. Demetrius. Oh, he's an MMA fighter. That would explain why I could recognize his name, but not have any idea who it was.
I feel like Alfie's out of his league.
Why?
Because these guys could actually be heroes.
Jason Momoa and Jason Momoa and Demetrius Johnson.
Yeah.
It's a video game, though.
I don't know. Alfie could.
It's a video game, though, Andrew. It's his physical attributes not a big helpful in the video game.
You sure?
Pretty sure.
Think of the endurance his thumbs might have.
I don't know. They particularly train thumb endurance, but he could also be using a keyboard, in which case the thumbs don't even factor in.
Oh, yeah, then even better. Sucker. He's got his arms.
It's not even arms.
Yeah.
It's hands.
Gotta keep him up. And
good keep posture. Gotta keep your defense up, keep your hands up. So now we have to switch to... Oh, there we go. So we also have news about... the For Honor Season Pass and DLC plans already. So they've already announced the Season Pass DLC stuff. So all For Honor players will be able to experience the post-launch DLC updates in Faction War seasons. Each season, so the Faction War where you get to, you know, apply your war... what the hell is the word? What the hell was the word, Andrew? The war... Can you remember? Assets. War assets.
Assets, yeah.
You get to choose your war assets to either attack a territory somebody else holds or defend a territory you hold after each battle that you do. So each season will last for 3 months, and we'll see the release of two new heroes and two new maps to go with them, as well as various other weapon, armor, and game modes.
Yeah. So that's which I hope there are a lot of. It seems like they're building a base to have lots, but...
Yeah. This reminds me, I gotta say, after seeing just a few posts, and mostly the comments on the For Honor subreddit, I'm very glad I didn't choose Knights. And that Deus Vault bullshit.
What?
This is some of the comments I was reading. I was like,
oh.
I'm very glad that I didn't like the attitude.
Just the people in that faction?
Yeah, I didn't like the attitude the people of that faction were represented on the subreddit, so I was like... I'm glad I chose. I don't want to do knights. Should I do Viking or samurai? I don't know, but definitely not knights. That was how my thoughts went when I had to choose a faction to represent.
That's funny. I picked knights.
Of course you did.
But
Davis Vault and all that. That's what is that even from?
I don't know.
I saw it on the subreddit, and it didn't bother me. So season pass holders. So back to the actual news here. We're talking about. Season pass holders will have a full week of the new heroes before they're released to the wider player base and unlock automatically. So, Oh yeah, free players will have to recruit the new heroes by spending steel, the in-game currency, which we had to do to unlock our people.
Yeah,
but you get it at some decent rates.
You didn't need steel.
You needed something.
Because I think steel is what you get from breaking down items that you find.
I don't know. You needed something. I don't really remember. But it's a similar, in a similar way, you pay in-game currency, not real money, in-game currency to unlock the new classes, effectively. And if you have the season pass, you don't have to do that. So the season pass, much like, it's sort of like in Brawlhalla or Smite, where you can buy the, hey, this is every hero new, every hero now plus all the others forever, if you pay extra money. And season pass holders will also get access to exclusive scavenger packs, which give you items and upgrades and such. And, ooh, access to the game a week before main release date. So while the open beta is on? Because 9th to 12th, and it opens on the 14th. So that's while the open beta is on, but there will be people actually playing the game?
I don't know.
That's what that means. That's 100% what that says.
Weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't understand about that either. That sounds pretty cool, though. And also, they've got a big deal with Twitch, just to round this up here. So Twitch Prime and Ubisoft are collaborating to make the month before the launch of For Honor a special one for fans, Twitch viewers, and streamers. Yeah, sure. Sorry, this is I'm reading off a Twitch.tv blog. That's why they're being annoying. Annoying to me.
Being Twitchy.
Being, hey, look, streamers look and viewers. Us. Yeah, come look at us. Exactly. So, once For Honor launches, basically they're talking about, first of all, they're talking about what we mentioned with earlier, that they're getting people on the betas to represent the factions, like famous people, either actors or on Twitch streamers.
Right.
And then once it launches, another couple of words, whichever one wins the war of the factions, one faction will crown the winner, rewards redeemable in the full game will be given to all beta participants, with special rewards going to whichever faction wins. So everybody's getting rewards for going in the beta on your Ubisoft account, Uplay account, that's it. And if your faction wins, you get more rewards. And then once For Honor launches on February 14th, you get a 10-day champion. Twitch Prime members, if you're a Twitch Prime member, you get a 10-day champion status, which comes with XP boost that can be shared among friends, along with more XP from crafting, more loot at the end of the match, and a special emblem that they can use to customize their warrior. I bet it's the Twitch robot face thing that they do.
Yeah.
Every special Twitch skin is.
Yeah.
And then they just talk about, hey, Twitch Prime gets you member pricing and I'll pre-order new release console games. Which I looked up, it's like 10, 20 cents or something on Amazon.ca. Twitch Prime members get like 20 cents off the PS4 version.
Wow, that's not much.
No, it's kind of tiny. Oh,
but if you got Prime.
I think that was the Prime.
No, if you get Prime, it factors in on checkout.
Oh, maybe. Okay, so it hadn't factored in yet, maybe. Yeah. Maybe that was why. I've never actually pre-ordered a game on Amazon.
I have.
That's why I didn't go all the way to checkout. I just kind of clicked on it. And then I looked and it was PS4 and it was Xbox One. I was like, oh, I don't really care then. I'm getting it on PC because I've already played it on PC.
Yeah, and everyone else is going to have it on PC.
Most people that I will play with, because it's easier for us. Because, you know, we can play with each other. As opposed to, do you have a PS? Oh, you have an Xbox? Damn it, can't play.
Yep.
Alright, so let's stop talking about Honor and start talking about Honor in Fire Emblem. The Honor of Heroes. So that game, it came out.
Yep.
And it's fun.
I've been struggling with it all week.
Andrew struggles with every game.
Yeah. It is a technical hurdle. Not all of which is entirely their fault. It's unplayable on my S3, which I get.
S3?
Yeah. But the iPad, it should be working on, and it's almost mostly working on. I finally got through the tutorial while we were recording this after trying all week, and now I'm trying to summon a new character, and it keeps crashing before I can get anywhere.
Well, at least you're not wasting orbs then.
I hope not. I haven't checked. I'm about to check now.
You know, you're probably not. Yeah, I don't know why. I did not have any problems with my phone. And I'm enjoying it, I think. I don't remember who said it. I saw somebody say it. That is, I think, a decent way for people to have never experienced the series to experience sort of the basics of the tactical combat.
Yeah.
Although, admittedly, it's very light tactical. There's not a lot you can do, per se. Also, remember to move your archers properly. And if you have to move your archer back to shoot, make sure you move your archer and then drag to shoot against the enemy. Do not lift your thumb up, because once you move and lift your thumb up, your turn is over. I experienced that the bad way. It's not great. But, overall, the game is fun. Story is interesting enough. So far, I haven't gotten super far in it. But it's good, and it's free. You know, FTP, so...
Yeah, kind of... Freemium?
Freemium, you can buy orbs and stuff to so you can try and recruit other heroes and better heroes. But, you know, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
I have never played it enough to run out of stamina. You seem to have a lot of the stamina, the lives or whatever it is in other games. So it's good. I like it. Worth checking out if you can play it.
I'll hopefully let you know what I think of it next week.
Someday.
I'm getting my Nexus fixed, so I'll be able to use that, which is a significantly better device than both my iPad and my S3.
Alright. Andrew, are you ready to jam?
Drop the beat.
Pump up the volume?
Pump up the volume.
That's all I got. raising the volume, I say that sometimes too. I don't remember. Anyway, Lucio is coming to the Nexus. He's coming to Heroes of the Storm. He's going to be in the PTR just next week. It says here February 6th. So maybe he'll already be up on the PTR when this gets uploaded. Who knows?
Who knows? I don't know. Only fate.
So, I think they usually spend, a couple weeks or a month on the PTR before they get launched?
Not always. Recently, it seems to have a pretty quick turnaround. It's 1 to 2 weeks.
So,
Valera, I think, was only 1 week.
And we all see how balanced she was.
She's awesome.
She's a burst.
She is a burst.
I saw somebody I know, Kalani, just posted a GIF. I think it was he went up to Li Ming as he was stealthed and did the silence thing.
Yeah.
For the silence of what's that? They got 2 seconds silence before it was over. Dead.
Yeah.
It's so good. Push, dead.
It's so good. Valera's one of my favorites.
Plus, she's got that sweet demon hunter.
Yeah, which I got
skin. So
how can you say no to a demon?
We're not super sure about Lucio's abilities yet, but he can clearly wall ride because Andrew has a GIF, as we mentioned earlier.
As of now,
oh,
we do have some abilities
and an updated thing.
Yeah, wall ride is his trait. The D button will allow him to move alongside impassable terrain, as well as walk through other units, and that's good because body blocking is a thing.
Yep. Sometimes by your allies accidentally.
Yeah. So that's good. And movement speed is increased by 20%, and it stacks with other movement speed.
That's part of his wall ride, his movement speed? Yeah, that's because he does move faster while wall riding in Overwatch.
Yeah. Interesting. And then his basic abilities are Shockwave, Q.
Pushback.
Crossfade, which is his W.
So that's his heal to speed boost, isn't it?
Yeah, heal speed boost.
And is that what it does?
Yeah. You get the two options. Increase movement speed of Lucio and nearby allies by 15%, or restore a small amount of health every second to Lucio and nearby allied
15%,
heroes.
15%, man. That doesn't sound like a lot, but in heroes, that'll be a lot.
Yeah. And you activate crossfade to swap tracks.
Yeah. Just like in Overwatch.
This should stack with wall ride. So that'll bring you up to about...
Wow. 35% faster while you're roll riding across impassable terrain or through enemies.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a good get out.
Yeah. That probably rivals Blink in get out. Get the fuck out of here.
And then amp it up. It raise the crossfade track volume for 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Amping up boost.
Speed boost or heals. Yep.
Speed boost is increased to 45%.
Holy fuck. That is fast.
Yeah, and significantly increased the healing rate of healing boost. And now you got the heroics. Sound barrier. Mm-hmm. After 1 second, Lucio nearby allies gain a massive shield that rapidly decays over the next 6 seconds.
Yep.
Which we all know. And then there's reverse amp. Blast Lucio... Blast Lucio's crossfade track at an enemy... At enemy heroes. Oh, cool. That's weird.
What the hell does that do?
Oh, okay. So, it uses your crossfade as a debuff or damage. So
basically, your speed would be lowered or you would take small amounts of damage.
Reduce movement speed by 45% or boost to inflict damage in every second.
That's interesting. So, Lucio is a little bit different than the other than what we saw with Tracer and Zarya in the fact that Tracer's ultimate is her ultimate in Overwatch, and Zarya's ultimate is her ultimate, whereas Lucio's ultimate is there. That is his shield, his first one you mentioned.
Yeah.
But the second one is not. It's a different thing. They're giving them the choice of ultimates like you usually get for every other hero.
I think Zarya's got that, too.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, she's got another one. She's got the orb.
I've only ever seen people take the usual Zarya's Overwatch ult. Yeah. That drags everybody in Gravity Well.
I can't remember what the other one is, and there's probably a reason for that.
Tracer does not get a choice. Tracer has her ultimate of the bomb, and that's it. It just at level 10, you actually just get a boost to it or something.
Yeah.
Interesting. But otherwise, he's pretty much exactly like Overwatch.
Which is really cool. They're really good at translating these characters into heroes.
That speed boost thing will be something else,
though. It'll be fun, yeah.
Man, I'm looking forward to that. Depending on what time I get home, I might play some heroes tonight. Maybe. Alright, so, Andrew, I'm guessing this is a Mass Effect thing?
Mass Effect?
Is it? Because this is a thing you added.
Oh, yeah.
After the start of the show, so I don't know what the fuck it is.
So when you were talking about the Runaways cast, you said mutants, aliens, and witches.
Witches,
and that just triggered my Imperium of man brain to just purge all the heretics, the mutants, the aliens, the Xenos scum. And it reminded me that the 40K universe is continuing to progress the story.
Mm.
And big deal, one of the Primarchs has come back.
I don't know what that means.
Back in the 30K, when the Imperium of man was really big and the Emperor was still alive, he had a bunch of Primarchs.
Uh-huh.
And they were like basically just miniature versions of him with a bunch of different characteristics, and they led each Space Marine Legion in their fashion, whatever their style was. And then Horus happened. He was one of the Primarchs and he led the breakoff, and then there was chaos, and then they warred forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Emperor died, and then all the Primarchs either went into hiding, were killed, were demons, the Primarch that come back, he was mortally wounded and then put into stasis immediately.
Hmm.
And then he just slowly healed while in stasis.
That's weird.
Yeah. In every version of the Codex and stuff, they say, you know, his wounds... people say it's healing, but that's impossible. It's in stasis. And, yeah. So, now he's back. And there are more signs for more of the Primarchs in hiding to come back. And that's cool. It's big news. Because the 40K universe hasn't progressed...
like, in a while.
I don't know, even ever. What they did do... they ended up retconning, and then,
It's funny. I was at Chapters yesterday, and because, you know, we were nearby, so we just stopped at Chapters. And I was looking at, you know, fantasy and sci-fi section, and you know how you get the Warcraft, the Starcraft, like, area? At the very bottom of that area, it doesn't say Warhammer, it's just Horus Heresy. The book section for Warhammer is Horus Heresy.
Yeah, and that's all the...
And I was like, really? You're not going to say Warhammer?
That's all the 30K stuff, and that's like a specific branch of the fiction, and the only fiction that has, like, progressed, but, like... We know the beginning, and we know the end. It's just been filling up so much middle, and it just keeps going and going and going. Funny. We're going to have, like, the whole conflict before they decide to do anything else.
It's funny. So that's interesting. That sounds very interesting, and that does sound like a big deal to, you know, those of you who know 40K and, you know, Primarchs. I was thinking Turian Primarchs.
Yeah, I get that.
All right, let's move on and finish this up with some comic book news. So, Andrew, do you feel like some Tales of the Dark Crystal?
I remember we talked about this a long time ago.
I think it was a separate Dark Crystal thing, though, but yes. So Boom Studios announces Jim Henson's The Dark Crystal Tales, which is different than the Dark Crystal...
The sequel thing?
Yes, the Dark Crystal sequel thing that we talked about. So, this is a new children's series for Dark Crystal fans. So,
basically, isn't for kids, man.
What are you talking about? They're Muppets. It's by Jim Henson.
They're terrifying.
So, the Dark Crystal Tales delves deep into the Skeksis-ruled land of Thra, and this beautiful look at some of Jim Henson and Brian Froun's finest creations from the beloved cult classic film The Dark Crystal. In one tale, when a little bird is hurt in a Skeksis net, Jen takes it to the mystics for healing and learns her every act of kindness grows like ripples in a lake. So basically this is like a during or pre-movie by the sounds of it. It's like Bounty Hunter, Tales of the Bounty Hunter, kind of, but in Dark Crystal and children-y.
Cool.
So it's not the sequel, it's a different Dark Crystal book. And look at that cover. Look at them. Those cute little munchkin-ass things.
It's still creepy.
Weird mouse people.
Just a flood of uneasy feelings, and the movie's so creepy.
So the book is being written and illustrated by Corey Godby. Never heard of him. And it's scheduled to arrive this summer.
Mark your date planner.
For the whole 3 months of summer. And also, we haven't talked about any of the, God, I bet that click was loud. Sorry, people. Talked about any of the, Free Comic Book Day stuff that's come out, mostly because it's not been that important. Just this stuff coming out for free on Free Comic Book Day, guys. Believe it or not. Oh, Jesus, I missed this. That's kind of terrifying. You want to talk about terrifying? Look at what I just found. So I'm going to add something in the notes in a minute, but...
Uh-oh.
I'm going to talk about it first. So, Joe Klokey, president of Primavision and son of Gumby creator Art Klokey, today announced, this was on February 2nd, a partnership with Papercuts. Papercuts, which is a kids' graphic novel publisher, this agreement will give them the rights to create comics and graphics novel based on Gumby. You remember Gumby?
Yes.
There's going to be graphic novels and comics coming out about Gumby.
That's weird.
Gumby, yep, that's what they're playing. YouTube. Did Gumby do a YouTube thing? Sorry, this partnership will let Papercuts create new material based on the hit Gumby shorts that have found a new generation of fans through YouTube and DVD releases. Right, that's why.
Right.
Yeah. So there's going to be a new Gumby coming out. Gumby number one will be on sale at comic book stores, online retailers, and bookstores everywhere on July 19th.
I didn't ask for this.
I don't think anybody asked for this. So I will add that to the notes in a minute. But first, the secret is out, Andrew. The secret. It's out. So last week sometime, Valiant Entertainment did a teaser thing about the secret And then,
like the book about positive thinking and, you know, thinking about what you want, you visualize and then you'll get it.
No.
It's all about positive thoughts
no
and putting
idea what you're talking about.
The Secret.
But this sounds like Malcolm Gladwell bullshit.
You haven't read The Secret?
No.
You haven't heard of The Secret?
No.
I wonder if that became a movie.
Probably. What hasn't? I'm surprised they haven't made The Outliers or some other Malcolm Gladwell book into a movie.
Anyway. Yeah, The Secret is a movie. It's a documentary.
Anyway, no. So The Secret was revealed like 2 days after they teased it to be Secret Weapons by Eric Hesserer, Raoul Allen, and Patricia Martin. So, this is a prestige format 4-issue miniseries. Don't ask me what that means. I do not know what prestige format means. I will admit, I have no idea what that means. But it's a 4-issue miniseries. So, and it sounds really cool. Let me read you the blurb. The government has dispatched Amanda McKee, the technopath codenamed Livewire, to investigate the ruins of a secret facility formerly run by Toyo Haruda, the most powerful telepath on Earth, and her former mentor. That would be Amanda's former mentor. In his quest for world betterment at any cost, Haruda sought out and activated many potential psyots like himself. Those who survived, but whose powers he deemed to have no value to his cause, were hidden away at this installation. But Livewire, having studied Harada's greatest strengths and learned his deepest weaknesses, senses opportunity where he once saw failure. A young girl who can talk to birds, a boy who can make inanimate objects gently glow. To others, these are expensive failures, but to Livewire, they are secret weapons in need of a leader. Now, as a mechanized killer called Rexo seeks out to destroy them, great name, by the way, Rexo, Livewire and her new team of cadets will be forced to put their powers into action in ways they could have never imagined. There's more than the two of them that they can mention there. But girl can talk to birds. That sounds pretty cool. This sounds pretty cool. The art looks pretty cool. It's got some good art.
The bad guy looks cool. Rexo.
Rexo Farmer Plus.
He's pretty cool looking. He's all like tentacly,
but
like
a robot.
He's made up of tentacle wire things.
Yeah, it's weird.
Encased inside armor.
Yeah,
kind of cool looking.
It's pretty cool. I mean, the bird.
He looks more badass than the chick who talks to birds.
Nicole Finch,
yeah.
I just like that her last name is Finch. It amuses me.
Martin Tyus and Sunil?
Sunil. Yep. But this sounds pretty cool.
He's like Cher. He's only got one name.
So this is set to arrive on June 28th this year. And I think it sounds pretty cool. And like I said, the art looks pretty good. I mean, look at her talking to birds and shit.
Yep.
I just like the birds' reaction. Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
Genius.
That's what it sounds like. Or that's what it looks like. We can't actually see any speech bubbles in the pre-art. Because you never get in art previews, you never get any speech bubble art.
She seems cool.
Anyway, so this looks pretty cool. I'd check it out if I was you. So that is all we have for this very, very week. You can find us on Twitter. I am at Dud75, DUD75.
I'm at DUP3.
And you can find the show at Greek News, GWEEKLYNEWS. Our website is GreekNews.com. You can find the show notes with the aforementioned links and whatnot. And maybe some other things. You can You can email us at feedback@greeklynews.com. We would love some feedback. We will respond. We probably, unless you tell us otherwise, probably talk about it on the show. Respond there and also directly respond to the email.
Yep.
You can also leave comments on the website. I always forget to mention that. At the bottom of each post, you can leave your comments there.
We'll get them.
We will get them. You Okay, we have Facebook. That's the next thing on the list here. Facebook.com/GreekTheNews. That's a good place to contact us. Or we have a Discord, which is a pinned Facebook post, a pinned tweet, and there's a little widget on the top of our website if you want to join the Discord server and talk to us and play games and whatnot.
It's fancy.
It's fancy.
So fancy.
And we're on iTunes, where we would absolutely love a rating and review.
Yes, please.
Yes, please. All right, thank you for putting up with our shenanigans for one more week. TTYL. Talk to you next week.
Yay.